Check, check. All right, looks like we're going here. I want to welcome all you masses and masses of people out there to the 32nd annual. Yay! All right. This is the Old Marble Stage, and this is the 32nd annual Florida Folk Festival. And got all kind of events going on over here today. There goes another member of the audience walking over there. That's five of us now. And we've got all kind of cow working demonstrations happening this morning, this afternoon. Going to have workshops right here on the Old Marble Stage about the history of Florida ranching and such, legendary cowmen, the pros and cons of using cow dogs and all that kind of stuff, and rodeo. We got rodeo events scheduled in the arena. And I want all of you just to simply wander around, have a good time, and we're going to start off right now with a lot of silence. Yes, check. Getting it? Check. All right, I want to welcome all of you here. This is the first workshop we're having this morning on one aspect of Florida ranching. A lot of people associate the cowboy and cowman and working cattle with out west. And, of course, a lot of people do work cattle out west, but a lot of people don't know how many cattle are, in fact, raised in the state of Florida. And that wherever you got cattle, you got to have people to work them. And that's what these boys up here do. And let me introduce everybody. On the far end side over there is Mike Wilder over at Keenansville. And the man next to him is Vic Blackstone over at Bradenton, if I'm not mistaken. Is that pretty close?
That's close enough.
All right, Vic Blackstone. And then we got Terry Myers. Is that right, Terry?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty close.
Yes.
Now, Terry, if I'm not mistaken, is from Lake Placid. All right. And then Ronnie Sylvester sitting here. He's the mayor of Venus, Florida, which is down in the south. You're really the mayor.
Yeah.
All of these guys have worked cattle one time or another. I know that a little bit is one of the features of Florida ranching that separates Florida-style ranching, cow work, from the Western style, is the use of cow dogs. Now, a lot of people don't know that you can work cattle with dogs, and most of these guys are familiar with them. I don't know. Maybe I'll ask old Terry over there. You said you're not too familiar. You've seen them worked.
Yeah, I've seen them work. People use their dogs, and they help you out a lot. Because when the cow run off, you let your dog go get the cow, and you won't have to run your horse to them.
Well, not down at that Buck Island Ranch down there. They weren't no dogs down there.
No, sir, because them cows, they ain't crazy, and they don't want dogs on their place.
Why don't they like them?
They don't.
Keep on talking, Ron.
What I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
well,
that
sound
is
terrible.
I can't hear for the applause.
I like this answer.
We've got three people sitting on the benches out there and one person under the trees. How are you, Ms. Blackstone?
Let's see. We need to.
How you get him out of that?
Not to touch him with your lips, but you just got to be about an inch.
You're like that there?
I'll get up there. When I'm talking, I'll get up there close enough.
You talk in the microphone.
One or two.
A lot of people, I guess, just they handle their cattle easy and just don't use dogs. They got it set up. I've never been on that ranch, but maybe a lot of lanes or a lot of improved pasture, not much woods or something. I don't know.
So I guess if you got woods and brush country, that's where you want your dogs, I guess.
Yes, sir. Sometimes in the open, too.
Wherever they make it easy, I guess. Vic, did you ever work dogs?
I never did work cattle with dogs much except helping my neighbors. I never did understand how to train a dog, so I never did use them. But in helping my neighbors down here in South Florida, a dog is the best thing that they can have in rough country where they got lots of bay heads and whatnot. They can send their dogs in that bay head where it's too rough to ride a horse in, and them dogs will go through there, and if there's a cow in there, they'll bring them out. They can be driving them cows and not have nobody in the front of them. All they need to do is motion to the dogs and say, go ahead. And them dogs will go up ahead and hold them cows up. And a dog is just like a horse. If they've got the instinct to learn all this stuff, they can learn it. They'll learn it themselves. And a dog likes to do things to help his boss. And lots of those cow dogs would rather get a whipping than to get scolded.
Yeah.
So down here in South Florida, in that rough country, well, a dog is part of the cow crew.
I got you. Now, Mike, you own some dogs down there on your ranch down that you work. You use them pretty much?
Yeah, every time we work cattle.
And just pets?
About halfway.
Do you sure enough use them a whole lot? Or?
Yeah, every time we do anything with them, I use them. Because it's usually just either me by myself or me and Brenda, so I need the dogs to help me.
If you don't have five or six people out there to help you, then I guess they do come in handy.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody out there got any questions in this audience? Masses of people. Do I see a hand in the back? No.
All questions for this man.
What time you got there?
What time is that?
If I may, I'd like to tell a little story about a dog and this one particular dog. I was ranching down in Manatee County on out there on Highway 62. We went 6 miles along it. On the other side of the road was another ranch, the same distance, and it went 2 or 3 miles deep, and so did mine. And this was Carl Mann. Some of y'all might have heard of him. He's been dead a long time now, but he had an old female dog he called Sue. It was a hound dog. And she'd rather get a whipping than to get scolded. And Carl would scold her, and she'd come off and stay down at my place because I never did scold her or nothing. That's back when screwworms were bad. And she'd go with me a screwworming, and you'd get the screwworming running these calves, and the cattle would run from you. So I'd ride within about a quarter or half a mile of a bunch of cows, and I would send old Sue. I'd say, go check them, Sue. And she'd go up through that herd of cattle, and if there was not a case of screwworms in the herd, she would go on through it and look to see which way I was going, where she'd cut across and meet me. If there's a case of screwworms in the herd, she'd stand out there and bark. So now that's a case of a dog learning all that herself.
That's hard to believe. Now, you sure you're not making that up?
That is no lie.
All right. You're talking about screwworm. Tell me about screwworm.
Well, the screwworms come out of Mexico into Texas. Finally, they crossed the Mississippi River and got over here in Florida. The first screwworms that I knew of was over on the East Coast, south of Jacksonville, in 1934. And I come down here, and I'd been making all the rodeos in this country, and these ranchers would come to me and ask me what these screwworms were. Well, out in Texas, we've had them all the time, so it was just, we didn't know anything else. We didn't know what, except doctor them, and that's all. But they like to drove these Florida ranchers crazy when they started down here. And I guess it was worse down here than it was, because Texas country is open where you can find your cattle and stuff. And down here, when a calf or a cow gets screwworms, they'll bush up somewhere where you can't find them. And that's another place where a good dog comes in. They'll help you hunt up these things.
Yeah. Terry, you and Ronnie, either y'all ever have to mess with screwworm, or was that gone time y'all was working?
We missed that. That was gone before I was born.
What's the biggest pest y'all have to deal with?
Flies.
Brucellosis.
Bleeding cows.
Bangs.
Bangs.
That's the truth. That's aggravating.
Bangs. What's bangs?
Brucellosis.
Disease in their blood, they say.
What's it do to them?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Just creating jobs.
Just creates jobs?
Yeah, it gives other people jobs.
How do you...
It hurts It hurts a dairy cow. It hurts the milk. But a beef cow, it don't matter because when you fry the meat, it cooks all the germ out.
But you still have to treat it.
Yeah, because, you know, to get rid of it.
There's no treatment. There's no treatment for it. If one gets bangs, you got to, you got to beefer.
You got to get rid of it right then. Beefer. Right.
Yeah, you can vaccinate for it. Vaccinate your calves, calfhood, vaccinate them, and it's about 80% beneficial.
Yeah. All right. Well, y'all were vaccinating for red water down on that when he was working down there, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
What's that?
It's a disease I've never seen but one die of it because people vaccinate for it so much. But a long time ago at Brighton at Lach Brothers, a bull died from it. We was driving him up a lane, and then he stopped and went turning and laid down and died. And the vet come, checked him out, and he said it was red water. But you don't see much of it because pretty well everybody vaccinate for it.
Where are y'all from? Fort White. Any of you ranchers? Any of you know anything about ranching?
Bud's not here. Bud.
He knows about that.
Not about it.
Does he?
Tell him.
All right. What?
We got cows on our farm.
All right. You got any cowmen that work them?
Yeah, my grandma.
She probably does it. Well, we're just sitting up here talking about cow dogs. Y'all know what cow dogs are?
Yeah.
What?
Dogs that hurt your cow.
How'd you know about that?
Just left me where.
Oh, you seen it then. All right. What do you want?
One of my cow dogs died.
How come?
He's too old to run cattle anymore.
Too old?
I believe that boy will be fishing with you, too.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of another question here to ask you, fellas.
I hope not.
Y'all about done? What time you got? We're supposed to quit here at 11.
10:57.
Well, we're going to quit. I appreciate all y'all coming. Y'all already been down to the working area? Let me tell you what's going on here right quick so you'll know what else is going on the next little bit. This is what we call the old marble stage. I bet you don't know why we call it the old marble stage. Yeah, you're smarter than you look. All right. And on the old marble stage, we're going to have some talk about 1 o'clock, if you're still around, about some of the old legendary cowmen around that have been around the state. I think Vic is going to be a part of that, and a man by the name of Joe Ackerman. Maybe Ronnie, I don't know. Maybe Terry. Y'all know any strange characters you can talk about?
I ain't that old yet.
You know some crazy people. I'm sure you know that. And just tell some yarns about some of these old-time cowmen. And, of course, in the meantime, we've got all kind of cow work going on over here and going to have a calf scramble at 11 o'clock. You all know what a calf scramble is?
No.
Do you? You tie a ribbon on the tail of a calf, and then you get all the kids out there that wants to go and try to get the ribbon off of that calf. Well, you got to look out for the kicking. And then when you get the ribbon off, we got a couple little prizes. I think we got a T-shirt for the first person that gets the ribbon off, and then the next person to get a ribbon off, they get a free program, Folk Festival booklet. So if anybody wants to do that, you can have at it. And then we're going to have, also for the kids over there, going to have whip and rope using workshops, teach y'all how to crack a whip maybe how to throw a rope. Anybody here know, you know how to throw a rope? Nobody? Well, shoot, maybe you'll learn something today, I don't know. Then we got another calf scramble at 12 o'clock, and then going to have a couple of horses over there with some horse gear on them and show you all the different parts of the horse gear, where the saddle is and what the parts of the saddle are and all that kind of stuff, and show you how to put it on maybe and that kind of fun stuff. Sound like great, huh? And then we're going to have a horseshoeing demonstration over there about 1 o'clock. So if you're around, just keep coming on over and see what's going on over here. And that's going to close out our first workshop of the day about cow dogs. I want to thank Mike Wilder and Vic Blackstone and Terry and Ronnie. And y'all make yourselves at home. You know where everything is, don't you? The food and all the other stuff at the festival. Just wander on around. Appreciate it. See you later.
There is a lot of
history that doesn't get written down, and that's the history that we're going to swap most of all. But with that, if anybody wants to come on up later on and join in the discussion, why, feel free. But anyway, let me introduce Jim Bob Tinsley right here, who will be the leader of this workshop, and let's just see what happens.
Thank you so much. Good to see all you nice people up here. I feel like I'm a novice here with the company that I'm in, because I'm in some fabulous company here of the old-time cow persons and also a man who wrote a fabulous book on the Florida cowman. It's I think probably the first thing we ought to do is to get a little information about these people and let them introduce themselves. I'll let them do that because they know more about themselves than I do. But I do know this man on my left. You'll go ahead, Vic, and introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Vic Blackstone. That's about all I can tell you.
That's not all I can tell you. Vic was enshrined in the National Cowboy Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame the National Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City a couple years ago. That's pretty fast company there, Vic.
Well, tell us where you're from, Vic.
Well, I'm from Parrish, Florida. I was raised off out in West Texas, and I got to rodeoing. And back in 1932, we was back at New York. We'd been back there for 30 days in that big city. You couldn't see nothing but tall buildings, and the only place you could see the sky is get out in the middle of the street. Somebody said they're having a rodeo at Arcady, Florida, and I said, that's for me. So I come to Florida in November 1932, and I made this my home ever since.
Okay, Joe.
See, is this on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a drugstore cowboy. You can tell I'm not a real cowboy, but I've done a lot of research on the Florida cowman, on the cattle industry in Florida. I teach Florida history at North Florida Junior College in Madison. And a few years ago, well, it's been several years ago, I decided to try to put together a history of the Florida cowman, because the cattle industry really started here in Florida. The cattle, as far as the United States goes, the first cattle were brought to Florida in 1521 by Ponce de Leon. And right where y'all are sitting today, this is part of a Spanish ranch that was here about 1680. And so they've been cattle raising is the oldest industry in Florida, and really the oldest industry in the United States. And no one had done any research to speak of on this, so the Florida Cattlemen's Association was trying to put together a book for the bicentennial. And I had a manuscript that I had started, and with their help, people like Vic the Likes brothers, or Charles Likes and some other people like that, we came up with, I think, a pretty good little book on the history of Florida cattle raising. It's really a fascinating story, all the long cattle drives that we associate with Texas and with the West. Really, they took place here first, back in the 1600s. People were herding cattle across the Suwannee. Later during the 19th century, the early 1800s, they were moving cattle across the Peace River and the Kissimmee River and the Caloosahatchee down in South Florida. Branding was started here by the Spanish in the late 1500s. That was a long time before cattle raising came to Texas. There were some 30-odd ranches in this area in North Florida during the 1600s. That was over 100 years before they started out in Texas. I'm not trying to put down Texas, but we always associate, you know, cowboys and cattle with the West and Texas, but a lot of it started right here in Florida, and that's why I'm real, real excited about it. It's a real interesting story, and I think I've said too much already, so I'll pass the mic on to...
Before you do, you didn't tell people your full name. This is Joe Ackerman.
Okay. Joe Ackerman, thank you.
Testing. I'm P.K. Ralph from Madison, Florida. I was raised in around Branford, Florida. Come from South Carolina in 1913. Went on and been connected with cattle ever since. That the Martin herd, it, I got more experience with them than I did any of the others. And old man Sam Martin in Branford, Florida, was a banker. He had a son, Byron Martin, and he had four sons, and one, and Clyde Martin was the oldest, and he was in the cattle, stayed in the cattle woods, and with his daddy Byron. And I've been growing a few cattle ever since, and back in those days, it's quite a different than what it is today. I was talking to Mr. Ackerman here a while back, and he asked me a few questions, what I knew about cattle. So I told him a few things that I'd experienced that I'd had while we was at this, sitting around talking in under a shade of an oak. So he put a couple of things in the book on things that I told him. And I feel like it. I know something about the Olin cattle range because on the drives that come into Branford, and I had brothers that stayed. One worked for several years with the Martins there on Mark and Brandon and on cattle drives. I was so young, only I joined them when they had a drive coming into Branford, Florida. And Byron Martin had a son named Boo, and we were the same size, same age. I'd turned back and we kept up with when a cattle drive was coming in, and they'd drive about three times a summer. So we'd ride our horse into Tiger Ridge, which was 24 miles, on the day before, and come back and work with them on the cattle drive. We were just boys, and they used us as boys to run the errands and head off the strays and try to keep the herd together when they're coming in on the drive. But back in early days, my daddy was coming into Branford one day, and him and uncle of mine driving a pair of mules. They met a bunch of gypsies that was camping just a mile from home early in the afternoon. So my father asked them why they was camping so early, and they said the mare'd give out, one of the mares they had. They had a mare and colt. So while he was there, that my father traded him one of his mules for the mare and colt. He brought him on home, and they give him to his half, my daddy's half. He give to my brother Jack, myself, and the other half belonged to my uncle, and we had to raise $12.50 apiece to pay for the other half. So we trained this colt. And rode him back and to everywhere we went, to Branford and such like. And then when Brother Jack went to ride in the cowwoods with him, after we got this colt, that he was turned out to make a really cow horse. And one day Clyde Martin jumped on my brother to buy the horse. He come home, he talked it over with me, and he'd offered him $200. In them days, $200 was cartwheel. So we went and sold our cow horse. But we always kept a horse on hand.
Hey, I got where you got. Well, I guess it's my turn. I'm George Mills from Okeechobee, Florida. I was born and raised in and near around Highlands County. Not born in Highlands County, but I was raised in Highlands County. And I've been in this thing ever since the dipping back in the 30s. And I can relate some of these stories these old fellas are speaking about personally, because from the Everglades clear to North Ocala, I have helped work cattle. And back during the years when we drove them, we had I worked with 101 Ranch, which is called on the Indian Prairie. And we would drive our steers from there to Venus, Florida, and load them on the side tracks, ship them to Tampa, to Crumming Henry Packing Company. And as years went on then, of course, I followed the dipping. And as years went on, I was a day worker. Worked from one area of the country to another. And I well remember one drive back in 44. An old gentleman that's dead and gone was in the cow business, went in the cow business in St. Lucie County at Fort Pierce. And He bought a bunch of cattle over just out from Wauchula, Florida. And so I was chose to be one of the fellows that helped carry them from Wauchula to Fort Pierce. It took us a week to the day from the time we started them to go across country from Wauchula to Fort Pierce. And back then, that was the way you transferred your cattle in the place of loading 45 head on a trailer and hauling them 500 miles in about 6 hours. It took you about a week or 10 days to go 250 miles. But anyhow, so far as I'm concerned, if that time lapped back to that particular style of working tomorrow, I'd be right in the middle of it with as I was back then, because I think, as far as I'm concerned, I think men of that day and age got more enjoyment out of that kind of stuff than these boys that so-called themselves cowboys this day and time do, because 9 out of 10 of these boys that call themselves cowboys today, he wants to load his horse in a horse trailer and drive about 25 to 50 miles and get there about 8:30 or 9 o'clock and then leave there at least by 4, 4:30 that evening, heading back home to where he can go and have a big time till about midnight that night. But whenever this kind of work was going on back that day and age, you carried your little bedroll with you, and wherever night overtaking you, that's where you stayed in your motel that night, which was more or less a pair of blankets and whatever you had with you, a mosquito bar most especially. But anyhow, I'm 66 years old. I'm not the oldest one of these fellas in this type of work, but I've been in it ever since I was about 15 years old. And if the good Lord blesses me with health, so far as I know, that's all I do know, you might say, so I'm going to let it stay with me as long as I'm able to put one foot ahead of the other. You heard the old saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but there ain't no way to dig the country out of the boy, so that's the style of life that in which I live today, and I thank you all.
Go ahead.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We were supposed to tell you about a few legendary cow people in Florida, and I'm going to start out by asking any of the people on the panel here if they've got any stories about probably the most famous of all old-time cracker cowboys, Bone Mazel. Those of you out there, how many of you have ever heard of Bone Mazel? Okay, well, there's a few of you. Bone Mazel is probably the number one legendary cowboy in Florida, the old timers. He was born in 1863 down at Horse Creek in what was then Sarasota or DeSoto County, and he died in 1921. He was a subject of probably 1,000 stories, and he was the main figure in about 500 of them. And he died in the Fort Ogden Depot in 1921, and I've got a copy of his death certificate out of the archives up in Jacksonville, and says, cause of death, moonshine, went to sleep and didn't wake up. Vic, do you have any Bone Mazel stories you'd like to tell?
Well, no, I've got one that I always thought was kind of funny, and I guess it's authentic. I guess it really happened. They had Bones up for cow stealing. And so the judge asked him, he said, did you steal the cow? And he told the judge, yeah. But he said, judge, I stole that cow from you. But when I was working for you, I stole more cows for you than I ever stole from you. So the judge let him go.
That really happened. And you got something over there. That was Judge Smith, Zibe Smith, wasn't it?
Zibe King.
Zibe King, I'm sorry, yeah.
If you don't mind, I'll add a little to what Vic said. He, in his conversation to the judge, he said, judge, he said, I've stole 1,000 head for you. And he said, here you are putting me under arrest for just stealing one from you.
That Zibe King went on to be a Florida legislator. He was a judge. And when Frederick Remington, the great Western painter, was in Florida, he was in DeSoto County around Arcadia. And he wrote a story about the cowboys down there, and he painted a picture. One of them is old Bone Mazel himself. So, incidentally, I'm doing a book on Bone Mazel, and I hope you'll buy one sometime. See that picture, okay? Anybody else? Joe, how about you?